Our Bible reading this week is going to come from Romans chapter 1. Maybe you've already decided to read that before checking out the podcast, and you're like me, knowing Jeff picked the readings, you're thinking, Romans 1, this awful sin list,
yeah, right.
What are you looking for here, Jeff? This is supposed to be about zealous for good works. So let's talk about what you had in mind when you picked Romans 1.
Yeah, absolutely. I think often because we do so focus on the gravity of the second half of the chapter, and it certainly is the antithesis of good works. It's the opposite of good works. But we'd often read the chapter as juxtaposing the goodness of what Paul's talking about in terms of his gospel work with what the world is and why the world is the way it is. And so I think there's a useful way of thinking about what goes on inside our minds and hearts that leads to Paul's desire for a harvest among them, as he puts it's, you know, the fruit of his good work among them versus the depravity of the world that he sketches as the opposite of that.
Which, by the way, is the greatest good thing, good work we can do, and that is to share the gospel
with
someone who is lost.
That's right.
And so as he talks about that here, I especially like the language in verse 14. Do you see that? I am under obligation.
Right.
He felt a powerful sense of responsibility to do this good work.
That's right.
To share the gospel message with other people. And I want to be careful about that, because I think when we talk about obligation, that can have a negative connotation to it.
I have to do this.
I'm only doing it because I feel like I have to.
Right.
And I don't think that's the right spirit.
Right.
But I do think it's appropriate to feel a sense of indebtedness.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm a Christian because other people helped me learn about Jesus. And so I should feel a debt to help others to learn about him as well.
It's about responsibility, not the, you know, your child dragging their feet bitter because you gave them a task to do. But it's about, you know, indebtedness. It's about responsibility. God has given me this role, which is Paul's way of producing good fruit, good works in the kingdom. And he accepts that responsibility willingly. It's not grudgingly. But he recognizes that there is a need to do this.
So I thought it was also interesting that in verse 11, he talks about his eagerness to come impart a spiritual gift to them.
Yeah.
And so as Paul thinks about being with the Romans, there's something he wants to do for them.
Right.
But it's also interesting as you continue on in verse 12, he recognizes that in doing that, there's something they will do for him, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith, both mine and yours. And so I thought about the reciprocal nature of these good works.
Right.
Not that it's some kind of a quid pro quo I'm going to do for you because I want you to do for me.
Right.
But there is this benefit we gain as we do. We also benefit from the good works of others.
That's right. That's right. And to that end, David, then when you pivot to that other part of the chapter,
the ugly part that comes at the end,
you know, and we just focus on the, you know, the depravity and the sin there, and you know, the homosexuality always catches our attention in this day and age, you know. But when you look at all of that, what all of those sins focus on is the selfishness of meeting my own needs, my own desires, my own wants, as opposed to this goal of mutual encouragement, of reciprocity that you just mentioned from the first part of the chapter. This is the contrast. And I think, you know, I in particular am drawn to verse 28 there, late in that section, where you don't just look at the sins and how awful they are and how self-absorbed they are instead of focusing on others and doing good works toward others. But it all comes from ultimately they did not see fit to acknowledge God. You know, at the end of the day, we're going to bear some kind of fruit in our lives. And the kind of fruit we bear is very much determined by what's going on in our mind and our heart. A focus on God naturally leads to good fruit, good works. If God's not in our heart, if God's not really the center of our lives, then these other ugly things, maybe not in their most extreme form, like the homosexuality and things, but you know the strife, deceit, maliciousness, envy, gossip, slander, a lot of these other things that we do fall into sometimes that are destructive of others, not constructive of others, compared to early in chapter 1, where he wants to mutually them help each other. Ultimately, David, I think we need to be sober that our lack of good works is perhaps a sign that we're not really acknowledging God in our minds and hearts like we think we are.
A deeper spiritual problem.
Absolutely.
There. You helped me with this. As you were talking, I got to thinking about John 15.
Mm-hmm.
how disciples are supposed to bear fruit.
Yeah.
I believe I've got the right text
that's
there.
Right, yeah. I am the vine, you are the branches, everybody in me. Yeah,
if you abide in Jesus, you will bear fruit.
Absolutely.
And so maybe this sort of harsh close to the chapter is a way of sort of jarring us to ponder our fruit.
Yeah.
In this context, in the form of our good deeds.
Absolutely.
What is our life producing?
Absolutely.
And what does it say about who we're plugged into and connected to? Because when a disciple is connected to Jesus, the fruit will reflect that connection.
You'll see that sense of obligation, you know, that I have towards others in whatever sphere of my life I have, talents, abilities I may have, versus this self-oriented destructiveness of myself and others.
So they kind of set opposed to each
other.
The good fruit and the bad fruit. That'd be something to consider as we ponder our own lives and read Romans 1 this week. Hope that'll be a blessing to you.